From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Ed Gordon is on vacation. The New York Times reported Tuesday that suicides in New Orleans are on the rise, double the national average. The report is yet another reminder of Hurricane Katrina's evolving impact on the region. But not all news coming out of New Orleans is bleak. Some residents have returned to their homes, determined to start over. In just a minute, we'll hear from one local environmentalist who is organizing a grassroots cleanup with her friends and neighbors. We'll also hear from a lawyer fighting to put evacuees into permanent housing. But first, for an update on some of the latest post-Katrina developments in New Orleans, we're joined now by Jim Amos, editor of the Times-Picayune newspaper. He joins us by cell phone from New Orleans because his home still has no phone service. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hi, good to see you.
Where to begin? Because outside assessments still paint a bleak picture, like the New York Times article that we just referenced. But what is the assessment from the inside out?
Well, you know, it depends on your point of view, and mine happens to be optimistic. When I drive home every evening, I try to count how many new streetlights are back on my way. And I drive through some pretty darkened areas that were devastated by Katrina, but more and more it's lighted, and, you know, all of us look for news every day of a favorite restaurant that's reopening or a grocery store that might be coming to our neighborhood. And there is some sign of slow progress in that direction.
You know, there's been a great debate, obviously, concerning the levees and how and whether and when they will be rebuilt and to what strength. Where do things stand at this point with regard to the levee situation?
Well, we took a big quantum leap forward when the Congress and the administration approved, I think, what will end up being around $3 billion for levee protection for the general New Orleans area. So the big immediate question is what will happen between now and June 1st when the next hurricane season begins, and it'll have to be temporary measures such as blocking these drainage canals that flooded the city. And then longer term, we hope for something that as substantial and protective as what Holland devised to protect them from the North Sea's ravages.
You know, there was a shooting, I'm going into another subject, that occurred this week in New Orleans involving the police. Are tensions high there? I know that there was some suggestion that this person who was shot had some mental problems, but are there tensions between the police and the community?
I think that the police department is under tremendous stress and has been for months now. They've lost several hundred policemen, and many of the people in the police force are the kind of people who lived in the neighborhoods that were utterly destroyed, and so they're living an existence that's kind of the intersection of great maximum personal stress and professional stress.
Let's bring it to a close with this, because we started off talking about the fact that you are on your cell phone because you do not have phone service at home. I'm presuming other people are in the same predicament. How big an issue is it trying to communicate with people there?
Well, it's such a vast improvement over 2 months ago when cell phones also didn't work, and you'd have to, in order to invite somebody to dinner or make an appointment, you'd have to knock on their door. Conditions were pretty primitive, and that's improved somewhat.
Jim Amos is editor of the Times-Picayune newspaper in New Orleans. Jim, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.